Lord, shall we? Amen. Psalm 122, verse 1. You know this verse whether you know it or not. It said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's say it together. Will you say it with me? I was glad. Now, don't just say I was glad. See, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Anybody glad tonight to be in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God. I like the fact that the psalmist said, I was glad before I even got there. He said, I got glad when they just gave me an invitation. I was glad when they just started thinking about it. I was glad before we ever started the journey. I was glad before we ever left the house. I was just glad that somebody thought about it and voiced the prospect. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now I want to talk to you tonight about the reasons for my joy. I want to talk to you about why I'm glad that I can go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. There are some valid reasons that we ought to get excited about being in the house of the Lord. Would you go with your word tonight to the 73rd Psalm? You may be seated. Amen. Unless you want to stand the whole time, because we're going to read a lot of verses. Praise God. You know, amen. This is be unpleasant for you, but it's more unpleasant for me, so we'll just suffer through together, all right? Amen. Psalm 73 has always been a favorite psalm. Could I make a little confession to you here tonight? It's good for preachers to do this. Somebody caught me the other day, and I said something wrong. Can you believe that? It was the worst thing is it was a visitor, and she hadn't been back. I don't know why she hadn't been back. I'm sorry she hadn't been back. If she got that offended over one mistake, well, get used to it because there'll be more. I'm sorry, but I'm covered with this stuff right here, and I'm just a human being. I attributed the 73rd Psalm to David. And it could be a psalm of David. We don't know that. It just simply says a psalm of Asaph. But it could be that Asaph was just the singer or the choir director that directed this psalm. It does not altogether mean that Asaph wrote it, but he might have. So we're going to give him the credit tonight, all right? So if I say David referring to the 23rd Psalm or the 73rd Psalm, do you understand that I do know that? I might forget that, and please don't just mark me off your list. Don't ever come back. Just give me another chance. I'll get it right next time. Amen. And so the 73rd Psalm, it is a psalm of Asaph according to its title, and it is a very revealing psalm. So he starts out saying, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. And then he makes a little confession. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. And then he tells us why. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I got my eyes on other people. I got my eyes on people that were not serving God. I started looking to the world. And this is what he discovered. He said, the first thing I noticed, he said, for there are no bands in their death and their strength is firm. In other words, he said, seems like they never get sick. And if they die, they don't have a hard time. They just die in a bed of ease. That's the way it seemed. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. They don't have troubles in their life. Everything's roses for them. Yeah. Amen. He said, and therefore pride compasseth them as a chain, and violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. Now, I can identify with that one. They have no more than their heart could wish. They just look at them. They're just prospering. Look at these people. No trouble in their life. Never get sick. Don't have any problems. Rich. Got everything their heart could desire. Look at this picture. Wow. He said, they're corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, as people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the, everybody say, in the world. Notice, in the world, in the world, in the world, in the world. They prosper in the world. And they increase in riches. You see, he's having a problem. And then listen, after he got to looking at that, look how it affected him. He said, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long, I've been plagued and chastened every morning. All I have is trouble and heartache and woe. And woe is me, little Christian. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generation of thy children. He said, I've got to watch my mouth, and they can say anything they want to. They just talk however they want to talk, and I've got to be careful, because I'll get in trouble if I just say any old thing. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Is that I was in a world of hurt. Looked like I was on the wrong track. And then he listened to verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Amen. When I was looking from the wrong perspective, that's the way it appeared. He said, but when I got to the house of the Lord, when I walked into His presence, when I stood in His sanctuary, when the light of the Lord shone round about me, when the power of God and the presence of the Holy was surrounding me, he said, all of a sudden the picture became clear and I saw things from a totally different perspective. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons that you need to come to the house of the Lord regularly is because you get a different perspective when you get here. Some of you, even this day, the devil's been hounding, saying, you got troubles, give up, throw in the towel, nobody loves you, nobody cares, you're having too much trouble, and all kinds of things like that. But when you get to the house of the Lord, you get a different perspective. When the Holy Ghost begins to move, when the anointing comes down, hallelujah, when God bathes your heart in His love and His mercy and His grace, it makes a world of difference. Huh? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever go to the house of the Lord just barely crawling in, but you go shouting out, hallelujah, hallelujah. You come in with your head hanging down, but you go out with your head lifted high. You come in dragging your feet. You walk out with a spring in your step. You come in with a complaint in your soul. You walk out with a song. Amen. You get a different perspective here. Sin looks pretty good out there. Temptation looks good out there. Doesn't look so good in here. Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you get tempted and you just tried and you want to give in, but when you get here, sin doesn't look good anymore. When you get in the beauty of the Lord and you see His lovely presence and you feel His holiness, this world's not appealing anymore. That's what the songwriter meant when he said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That's what he's talking about. Makes a difference, doesn't it? It's the perspective. You get a right perspective when you get to the house of the Lord. It makes all of the difference in the world. Amen. Listen, this is how it changed. He said, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castedest them down in the destruction. How they are brought into desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. He said, it's just a short time. They're walking on a slippery road, and desolation is just right around the corner. Amen. Let me tell you something. People that seem to have it so good without God don't have it good. Amen. I wouldn't want to live in this life without God. Amen. Then he says, then my heart was grieved. I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they are all far from thee, shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all thy works. You see, his perspective changed, didn't it? And it all changed when he went to the house of the Lord. It looked impossible. He was having a pity party. And when he got out, he was looking for somebody to give his autograph to. Amen. He was feeling sorry for the rich man. Buddy, I wish you had it as good as me. Amen. Hey, you get a different perspective in the house of the Lord. I knew this lady. She preached one time for us, gave her testimony in Midland. Her parents died in the concentration camps in Germany. She was a child of a Jewish lady, and she came to this country. And she grew up here. Somewhere along the way, some people witnessed to Christine, and she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She was baptized in Jesus' name, and her life was filled with such joy. And when she came of age, she got to be 21 years old. Her uncles brought her to New York, and they took her in, and they said, now, Christine, said, your parents, and they had a degree of wealth, and now that you're of age, that wealth can be yours. The only thing that you have to do is you have to recant this Pentecostal business. And if you'll just leave that all behind, then this wealth and this inheritance will be yours. And Christine said, I can't do that. They said, but you can't have the inheritance if you don't. She said, then I'll just not have the inheritance. They said, Christine, the inheritance is $7 million. Christine said, this is more valuable to me than $7 million. When I knew Christine, she barely made it from month to month. She lived from hand to mouth But I never saw a more joyful Christian in my life. I never saw a person that enjoyed serving the Lord more than Christine did. Amen. And you know what? It was just a couple of years ago that she took her last breath on planet Earth and her first breath in the celestial realm. She took her last step on planet Earth and her first step on streets of gold. Amen. You know what? She doesn't have $7 million today. Her father owns it all. Streets are paved with gold. Amen. Praise God. Brother Grissom, you still believe all that? You better believe I do. Amen. You may be rich, but it's in the world. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to be rich. If God blesses you with riches and you can handle it, more power to you. Amen. I'm not saying there's any glory in poverty. There's not. Amen. You don't have to be poor to go to heaven. No. God's blessed people. God's blessed my life. God's blessed your life. I'm not glorifying poverty here tonight. It's okay to be wealthy if that's what God blesses you with and you can handle it and you got your priorities straight. Amen. When the Bible talks about riches, it's not talking about having things. It's talking about things having you. That's the difference. If you can have things, that's okay. But when things have you, it's not okay. If you can hold things in your hand, that's okay. But if you get things into your heart, that's not okay. It's who's in control. Amen. And so he got the right perspective when he got to the house of the Lord. Anybody ever have this happen to you? Have you ever kind of had a rough time and, you know, had all these questions, but you got to the house of the Lord just in time? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You ever walked into church with big old question marks in your mind and you left and you had exclamation points? God straightened them all out. Hallelujah. And you left rejoicing and shouting and praising the Lord. Amen. Thank God if I can get a right perspective in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. In the house of the Lord, I find refreshing. David said this, Psalm 42. He said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? John 7, 37, 39. Jesus said in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. You find refreshing in the house of the Lord. Revelation 22, 17, and the Spirit and bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the waters of life freely. Amen. Are you thirsty? Drink until you can't drink anymore. Be refreshed. Be refilled. Be replenished. Hallelujah. Amen. There's refreshing in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Praise God. There's sanctuary in the house of the Lord. You ever heard of a bird sanctuary? A bird sanctuary, that's, you know, or an animal sanctuary. You know, they don't let hunters in there. It's a safe place. Everybody say a safe place. A sanctuary is a safe place. That's why I like to go to the house of God. Because it's a safe place. Amen. Hallelujah. David was talking about that little deer, that hart, that was after the water brooks. I've read some commentaries say that whenever the hounds would get after the deer and they would begin to chase them, those deer knew that if they could get down to the water and they could wade out into the water and they could get out there among the lilies, then the hounds couldn't chase them there. Amen. They'd lose the scent, and they wouldn't be able to find them if they could just get into that water. Hallelujah. There's a sanctuary. Amen. That's why I like to come to the house of God, because this is a sanctuary for me. Hallelujah. I know people that live in some pretty rough situations. There are folks that their home is not a sanctuary. There are people, their families are not sanctuaries. It's a war zone. And there's wounded on every side. But if they can just get to the sanctuary. That's why some people love to come here so much. Because it's a sanctuary. Amen. If I can just get to the house of the Lord, I can make it. Amen. Some of you, and your job situation's not perfect. Amen. And you need a sanctuary. The house of God is a resting place. It's a safe place. It's a hiding place. Hallelujah. Psalm 96 and 6 said, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. But I say strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. You know, some folks are surrounded in their lives by ugliness. It's not a beautiful life where they live. There's difficulties. There's strain. There's stress. There's violence. There's profanity and cursings and every kind of filth and all kinds of garbage on every side. Amen. But when they get to the house of the Lord, there's beauty. Isn't that what the psalmist said? One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His sanctuary. Amen. To behold the beauty of the Lord. Amen. That's why I like to come to the house of God. This is a beautiful place. I said, this is a beautiful place. Praise God. I love to come to the house of God because it's a beautiful place. Amen. David was being hunted and haunted by his enemies. And he was so hungry. And he came one time to a little village called Nob. Nob was actually the village where the priest lived. And he came to Nob, and this, of course, was before David was king. And so the sanctuary had not been built, and Jerusalem was not even the capital city. And so he comes to Nob, and he goes to the house where the priest stayed. And when he gets there, he asks Ahimelech the priest. He said, we are so hungry. He said, is there any bread in the house? Now, I like what Ahimelech said. Listen to this. Amen. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread. Everybody say common bread. There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. Amen. When I come to the house of the Lord, it's not common bread. When I come to the house of the Lord, it's hallowed bread. Hallelujah. It's the bread of life that I find when I get here. It's not bread from my belly, but it's bread from my soul. It's bread that feeds my spirit. It's bread that strengthens the inner man. It's bread that lifts me up and gives me power and strength and vision and direction to carry on. Amen. Hey, there's bread in this house, but it's not common bread. It's not rainbow. It's not Mrs. Baird's. It's not great value. Amen. The bread you find in this house is hallowed bread. It's the Word of the living God. Amen. He said, that's the kind of bread we have in this house. Amen. And then David said to Ahimelech the priest, he said, Is there not here under thine hand a spear or a sword? He said, I got enemies, and, and I don't have anything to fight with. And Ahimelech said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it's wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. And David said, there is none like that. Amen. Give it to me. I'm going to tell you something. When you need something to fight with, you can find it here. When you need a sword that'll match any giant, when you need a sword that'll match any enemy, praise God, you're going to find it in the house of the Lord. It's not a physical sword, but it's the Word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow and the soul and the spirit. It's a fine sword, hallelujah. Thoughts and the intents of the heart. Thank God there's a powerful sword in this place tonight. Amen. That's why I get joy when I go to the house of the Lord, because I find a victory here. I find a weapon here. I found the sword of the Word of the Lord that will conquer all of my enemies. That's what I find in the house of the Lord. He was 8 years old when he became king of Israel. Israel was in such a mess. It was a devastation. One of the reasons Israel was in so much of a problem, we find expressed in 2 Kings 22 and 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Now, isn't that something? They had lost the Bible in the house of the Lord. They had lost the Word of God in the house of God. Isn't that sad? You know what? There's churches today that have lost the Word of the Lord. They're still preaching. You want to go and you want to hear some man's opinion about the social standings of the day or some other subject? Amen. But they've lost the Word of the Lord in the house of the Lord. Amen. But I like to come here because the Word of the Lord's in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said the Word of the Lord is in the house of the Lord. And so when they found the Word of the Lord, he said, I'm going to read it to the king. He read the words to the king. And the Bible says Josiah actually tore his clothes. Could I remind you there are some things in the Word of the Lord that are about judgment and about things that are coming upon this earth that are not going to make you feel good and happy, but they're real. Amen. We live in such a feel-good society. Amen. One way you can grow a congregation, I didn't say a church, but one way you can grow a congregation is just to make everybody feel good all the time. I read somewhere, it said, and in the last days they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Just tell me what I want to hear. Just tell me how good I am. Just tell me how well I'm doing. Just tell me, don't do anything. Don't you hurt my little self-esteem. Because my mama and all my teachers and even the government's been protecting my little self-esteem ever since I've been a little baby. And they don't even put red marks on my paper anymore because they don't want to hurt my self-esteem. Amen. Don't want me to feel like I might have done something wrong. Don't you tell me I've done anything wrong. Amen. You know, that was the situation, but whenever he heard the Word of God and he realized that Israel was standing on the brink of the judgments of God, he feared, he trembled. He grabbed his priestly robe, or his kingly robe. He ripped his robe. He bowed himself in repentance before God. Oh, Lord, help us. That whenever we're wrong, we come to the house of God and His Word can talk to us. And we don't want to be comforted. And we don't want somebody to tell us that we're all right in our sin. And we don't want somebody to tell us it's okay to keep doing what you're doing. But when we hear thus saith the word of God, and we hear about the judgments of the Lord and the righteousness of God, there's a conviction that grips our heart and causes us to repent before the Almighty and get our heart right with God. Thank God there's still conviction in the house of the Lord. I don't know about you, I often pray, God, please send us Holy Ghost conviction. Here's one thing that bothers me. It's whenever we get up here and we preach the Word of God, and we preach the Word of God, and people sit unmoved on a pew, and whenever we say amen, you can just walk out the door as if you never heard a thing. That bothers me. I'm sorry, but that bothers me. When people hear the Word of God and it doesn't do anything to them, that bothers me. I want there to be conviction in the house of the Lord. I think it's vital that there's conviction in the house of the Lord. And the king said, go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people, for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. And the Lord answered, 2 Kings 22:19 and 20. He said, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. You know what? The word of God brings conviction, and the word of God brings peace. Hallelujah. When you respond to the word of the Lord, amen, in repentance before God, in obedience before God, there's a peace that comes with that. Amen. There's a righteousness. There's a strength. There's an integrity that comes with that. When you respond to the word of the Lord, amen, there's some wonderful things that happen. I'm talking about the reason that I have joy when I come to the house of the Lord. Amen. I have a reason to be happy for coming to the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, there's salvation in this house. Amen. I'm thankful tonight. I still believe there's a hell, but I don't have to go there. I believe there's a heaven, and I'm planning on going there. Hallelujah. I've made my reservation, and I have my wedding garment on. Amen. Praise God. Anybody still believe in heaven around here? Anybody ever get excited about it? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is it just pie in the sky? Is it just some dead doctrine we preached in the past? Amen. Or does it still get us a little bit excited when we think about a heaven that God has prepared? Amen. Hey, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad. I was glad. I was ecstatic when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Let me close tonight. Isaiah 40:28-31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You find strength here. Amen. There's so much imagery in these verses. When he talks about mounting up with wings as eagles. You ever watch an eagle? Anybody ever seen an eagle? How about a hawk? But if you've ever watched an eagle, it's amazing. They look so lazy. You know, have you watched a hummingbird? Poor little thing. I'm exhausted just watching him for 2 minutes. I mean, he's not even supposed to be able to fly. It's impossible for a hummingbird to fly, but he does because God told him he could, regardless of whether science said he could or not. But he just, poor little thing, just beats the air. Just those little wings. Yeah. But you watch an eagle. He's got his big old wings spread out there. Every now and then he'll give it a little lazy flop. But you know what he's learned? The eagle has learned that there are thermals in the air. It's rising thermals of heat. And they're rising up from the earth. And he's learned that if he'll just get into that little vein there in that thermal, that it'll lift him up. He don't even have to fly. All he's got to do is just stay in that thermal. You know, it's like a little whirlwind. And he's learned that lesson. And so he just stays in that thing. And he just looks so lazy. And it just carries him higher and higher. And he gets up there. And after a while, it runs out. So then he just glides over. Till he finds another one. And then he gets into it and he does it all over again. You know why we come to church, and you know why our church services are a little bit different? We don't hand you a program of everything we're going to do when you get here because we don't know. Amen. It's not because we haven't prepared, and it's not because we haven't studied, but one thing we've learned is that there's a will of the Spirit for every service. And so when we get in here, that's what we're doing. We're just feeling after Him. And when we find that, woo, glory, it just starts lifting us up. And we just get higher and higher and higher. Amen. And then you go from glory to glory. You get into another one. Amen. Then that's not just for church services. That's what you do at home too. Amen. That's the value of prayer. You learn to get, and we used to talk about being in the Spirit. Do we ever talk about that anymore? Praying in the Spirit. Anybody talk about praying in the Spirit? We used to talk about shouting in the Spirit. We used to talk about laughing in the Spirit. We used to talk about singing in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Seems like I read somewhere, they that walk after the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. You know, well, that's what this whole thing's about, folks. It's about following the Spirit of God. Amen. That's what we're after here. And that's what he's talking about. That's where our strength is, isn't it? Hallelujah. Praise God. When you're in the Holy Ghost, nothing of this world looks good. Nothing in this world is appealing to you. Amen. Because you're in the Spirit of God. Amen. Any devil that approaches you looks puny because you're walking in the power of the Spirit. He comes, you just want to laugh in his face. Who do you think you are? I'm standing in the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. I feel his strength under my wings. Praise God. That's why I love to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. Because I find that direction. I find that that power in this place. That's why it's important. That's why the psalmist said, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, when I get to the house of God, I'm going to get my perspective right. My vision's going to clear up. I'm going to start seeing correctly when I get to the house of the Lord. Amen. He said, when I get to the house of the Lord, there's going to be refreshing there. And my thirsty soul is going to be satisfied. He said, when I get to the house of God, there's going to be a sanctuary. It's going to be a safe place. And nothing's going to be able to touch me there. When I get to the house of the Lord, I'm going to find not common bread, but hallowed bread. When I get to the house of the Lord, I'm going to find the sword of the Spirit. When I get to the house of the Lord, I'm going to find the word of the Lord. I'm going to find conviction for my soul. I'm going to find salvation for my soul. I'm going to find the strength of the Spirit. That's why I said, I want to get to the house of God. Now do you see why the devil doesn't want you to come here? Do you see why he'll do everything he can possibly do to keep you out of this place? Yes, he will, because he knows what's in here. And he can't do anything about it. Ha, ha, ha. When you walk through that door every service, you need to just turn around and laugh at him. I made it, slewfoot, and I'll come stomping on you when I get out of here. Praise God. Amen. There's power in the presence of the Lord. And that's why he said, I'm glad when they said unto me. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. I read an illustration that seems to fit well tonight. If you were given a thread, it wouldn't be hard to break it. You could just get it in your hands and you could just snap it in two. But if you tied it back together, same weak thread, then you found a strong chain, and you took that little old thread, weak as it is, and you wove it into the links of that chain until the thread becomes one with the chain. And then when you try to break the thread, you got to break the chain. And that weak little old thread takes on the strength of the chain. And then it becomes impossible to be broken. And that's what we do when we come here. We take our human frailties and we interweave them in the power and the Spirit of God. And this human frailty takes on the power of the Spirit, the strength of the Holy Ghost, and we cannot be broken. Amen. That's what happens in the house of the Lord. That's what happens when we get down and we start saying, not my will, but thine be done. Take my frailties and weave them into your strength. God, take my life and make it your life. Take my will and make it your will. Take my dreams and my plans and my desires. Make them your plans, your desires. Make me one with you. Amen. If we could just do that, praise God, then you talk about strength. Talk about strength. Amen. Thank God for the house of the Lord. Anybody glad that you got to come to the house of the Lord tonight? Anybody feel a little stronger since you've been here? Amen. I think it'd be real good if we just lift up our hands right now and our voices, and we'd just begin to tell the Lord how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. How wonderful it is just to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.